Well, today we're going to talk about grace giving. Yes, we're going to talk about money. Yeah. Where's the excitement? Where's the excitement? People should be going crazy, right? Okay. Anyhow, I don't know about you, but there's been numerous times I have learned so many lessons about generosity that I can't even begin to name them. I probably should write them in a book. But one time, I remember it was back in 1989, it was the second church that we served as a youth pastor. I don't know if you know this or not, but youth pastors don't make much. But anyhow, and so we had this car that we were just kind of getting by, and it was running. We literally had to tie a belt around the steering column to hold the driver door closed because the little knob to where when you close the door, it broke off and fell in, okay? And so we would do that. If you'd go around the corner at any speed, the door would just slightly open up. Right? It was quite lively. So finally, the thing just kind of gave up the ghost. It died. And so we were kind of in a pickle. We just began to pray, Lord, we really don't have the money for a vehicle, you know, whatever. And so someone in our congregation came to us and they said, hey, we've got this vehicle. It's really not that impressive. It is literally a cargo minivan that they attached a bench in. They literally put, it wasn't even padded really well, but it was one seat right behind the two seats up front. The rest of it was open, wasn't insulated, and they said, do you want it? It's got about 100,000 miles on it. We're like, yes, sweet, because some wheels are better than no wheels. In fact, when you have a teenager, remind them of that. Some wheels are better than no wheels, right? Because they're like, well, where's my Mercedes? I don't know. Where is it, right? You know, some wheels are better than no wheels. And so what happened is we get this vehicle. It was really good to us. It was a lot of fun with having three daughters. We actually put a little mattress behind the bench seat so when we would take a little vacations, they could sleep in the back. It was great. Of course, don't tell public health officials or anything if we'd had an accident. It'd been horrible. But the point is that it was this incredible gift. And so it began to start, you know, at about 175,000 miles, it began to start acting up. I am not a mechanic. My brother is. He's an inner city pastor in Chicago, still is. And I asked him, I said, hey, you know, this car's giving us a little, you know, hassle. Is this something that you would like, you know, to buy from us? And he goes, well, let me consider it. And so as my wife and I began praying about this, a vehicle, which, by the way, was given to us freely, right? As we began to pray, here's what the Lord was speaking to my wife and I separately. So when, I don't know how you guys do it, like in your family or whatever, but my wife and I, because we are so different, we literally pray separately, then we come and kind of talk and negotiate, right? But we pray separately, otherwise we'll never get to prayer because it'll be a fight, right? So anyhow, so what we did is we were praying, and the Holy Spirit literally prompted both of us this saying, freely you have received, freely give. And I remember going, what was that? Was that from my flesh? And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I won't charge my brother a lot of money. I think I'll charge him like $800. It's a good vehicle. I mean, it's reasonable, you know. And again, he got, you know, and Lord, I'll give you half of that. I'll give you $400. I mean, it's money on top. You know, not a bad deal. I'll split it halvesies with you, right? And the Lord kind of comes back and says, freely you have received, freely give. That's not the answer I'm looking for. That's not what I'm looking for. And then when I talked to my wife, I said, so honey, what do you think? What are you thinking as you pray? And she goes, it's the strangest thing, John. She goes, the Lord kind of gave me this little phrase. And I said, really? What is it? Now, again, we haven't talked. And she goes, freely you have received, freely give. I'm like, done, done. So I call my brother and I said, hey, I just want you to know you'll be getting a free vehicle, right? And one of the things that we learn about it is generosity literally is something that comes from the heart and needs to be spirit motivated and moved. So today, although I will talk about money and all that, but we're not so much after your money as much as this passage is after our heart. See, because money is a secondary issue, your heart is the primary issue at stake. Generosity in God's kingdom is a beautiful privilege that flows out of a spirit-led heart. not out of a tight-fisted Ebenezer Scrooge heart. In fact, you're lucky to get a penny out of that person, right? And there is a good chance with this size audience, there's a few Ebenezers in this room. We're talking to you, all right? So the point is, this beautiful passage will remind us of something profound. But it's a unique passage because what it's going to do, it's going to really turn us kind of in a little different perspective on it. And so follow along as I begin reading in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. You see, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is the longest section of Scripture in the New Testament that talks about giving. Now, many of you, and I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but many of you were kind of developed and brought up on this whole idea of tithe, okay? The tithe. The tithe literally means tax. And by the way, in the New Testament church, there is no tax. That was an Old Testament concept for a theocracy in which they had also a king, but that God said there needs to be a tax for a nation. So if you're going to be a tither, then let's get it straight, okay? Are you ready for some straight talk about tithe? If you're going to be a tither, then I want you to make sure you fulfill your law and your duty correctly. It's 23.33%. And some of you are going, well, wait a minute, well, I learned 10. Yeah, you know what? People cherry pick when they preach all the time. If you go back and study the text, once a year they had to give a 10% tax to the temple, 10% to the community, and every 3 years they gave another 10% for festivals. That's 23.33% annually. So buck up. Or there just may be another way. And it's this whole idea of grace giving. You see, the idea here that is laid out is there is a different thing that we're doing. Why? Because now it's a personal, our walk with Christ is personal and communal. It's not national. It's personal, me and Jesus, and we and Jesus, communal. And so now how do we give in response to what God wants to do in our lives? Giving is a privilege to partner with the work of God in God's kingdom. It is a privilege to be able to do that. And some of you are thinking, oh, my, my, my. You know what? Some of you that struggle to give and are tight-fisted in your giving, the reason why it's hard for you to make ends meet is because of that. God is withholding opportunity for you because you have not learned to let go of it. You know what I found? The more and more my wife gave, the more and more God blessed. I don't know how it works. I don't understand all the details. It's not like I was working harder, working smarter, any of that stuff. All I know is the more my wife and I gave away, the more God would provide abundantly for our needs. I don't get it, but that's the way it works. Even my wife and I have been in a lean time in the last, 18 months, but God has provided abundantly. And we have given this last year, you have no idea how much I've made, but 17% of our income. Why? Because the more you give away, the more God provides. So, for example, we are getting to a lean time. It was the holidays. A friend out of nowhere says, the Lord really blessed this year in our retirement. And, oh, by the way, we just wanted to share a little of that blessing. It was a $5,000 check. Now, I don't know about you, but $5,000 is a lot of money. Okay, that's a lot of money. Out of nowhere. It was something that the Spirit spoke to them about, and they blessed us, and it was deeply needed. Of course, that's a lot of extra income. Guess what? That's fun money in the kingdom of God. We weren't expecting it. My wife and I are pinching pennies. We're holding line on the budget. This is an opportunity to give more, not to spend more. See, we have bought into the culture way too much. The opportunity that we have before us in this passage, in fact, chapter 8 and 9, lays out for us the opportunity of grace giving. What is grace? A simple little acronym to help you remember grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. The fact is that God has blessed us beyond, and it's a spiritual blessing, but there's also physical ramifications to this spiritual blessing. God has blessed us with all the full riches of heaven at the expense of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. That is grace. Here Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, fully robed in majesty and power and authority, humbly sets it all aside to be born a baby, to live 33 years of life, and when he actually goes public with his ministry, is constantly ridiculed, so much so and despised, they finally kill him. And 3 days later, he says, what up? New life. There's a new day, and that's called grace. You can live under the law if you want, but man, the law, she's tough. She's really hard, because if you make a mistake once, it's as if you've blown it all. But you can live under grace and begin to understand, see things differently. So what does grace mean? Let me give you some quick pops about grace. Grace is an invitation to go deeper in our love for God. It speaks of intimacy, depth, and genuine love. Grace causes me to grieve over my sin and seek to please, honor, and esteem God for who he is. Grace is an invitation to abundant life, not a life of avarice, vice, and sinful pleasure seeking. Grace is an invitation to experience spiritual, relational, and emotional freedom. Grace, as modeled by Jesus, is a willingness to lay it all down for the glory of God. Grace is the currency of God's kingdom economy. You know, I don't know where this horrible idea of grace has entered into the church. It goes like this. I will live my life all week long. I'll speak like the world. I'll act like the world and all that. And then what I'll do is I'll confess it and God forgives it. And I call that grace. I call that a get out of jail free card. This is not the game of Monopoly, people. That grace is nothing but a sham. The grace that the Bible talks about is an invitation to deeper intimacy with Jesus, not to satisfy the fulfillment of my fleshly desires and then call the God card for forgiveness. That is not grace. That is exploiting the very notion of grace. Grace calls for my full heart, not part of it. Grace is an invitation to go so much deeper than I could have ever, ever gone by myself. Grace is an invitation to greatness in God's kingdom. I remind my clients who are believers this. You are a prince and you are a princess. Of course, that freaks them out every time. Like, what? No, think about it. Spiritually, if you're a male, you're a prince. If you belong to God. And if you're a woman, you're a princess. Not Disney cast princess. That's so, ugh. You know, you got to look a certain way. Your waist's got to be about that big, right? You know, and you got to wear everything. I mean, that's a joke. No, the princess that we're talking about is the fact that you and I belong to the king of the universe. You and I have royal blood in us because we are the sons and daughters of God. And therefore, you and I are both a prince and a princess. Own it! Live your royal life. Don't act like a pauper. And when you play to the sinful desires, I want to do whatever I want, I want to play to fulfilling the lusts of my flesh, you are literally like a beggar in the king's court. That is not who you are. Grace says you are so much more. Grace invites you to so much more. So what does grace have to do with grace giving? Grace giving is about our love for God. Grace giving is knowing we grieve God when we are tight-fisted with the resources that we have. Now, the resources just may not be money. It may be things that you have. I remember when my wife and I downsized, you know, we invited numerous friends of ours who didn't have as well a means as that we did. We compiled all this stuff in the house, and we literally said, what could you use for your home? Come take a look and have it. If you can take it out, it's yours. And then whatever we had left that we didn't need, what did we do? We took it to the Salvation Army so they can sell it, so they can bless other people, all that. So there's a variety of ways that you can give. For example, I have clients that need me to give them a discount on what I charge. And anybody in ministry, I give a 33% discount right off the top. Anybody. I don't care how much they make. Why? Because this is a God thing. See, it's an opportunity. We have myriad of ways to be able to give of our resources. It's not just money. Grace giving is about abundant living. Grace giving is being free from the bondage money can enslave us in. And grace giving is about our willingness to give it all. Grace giving is the currency in the kingdom of God. So let's look really quick at some observations. Number one, grace giving requires trusting God. In verse 5 it says, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord. Let me give you a quick backdrop on the passage. There is a famine happening in Israel. So the Jerusalem church is really struggling. They are having a difficult time to provide for the people that need, you know, resources and help and for all that needs to take place. And so literally where there's not a famine, and by the way, Corinth is a very wealthy area, kind of like Douglas County, which by the way, I think is the fourth wealthiest county in the country. But anyhow, it's a really wealthy place. He's going to invite them to be a part of taking up an offering and sending it down to Jerusalem so that they can help the brothers and sisters down there. Come to find out, though, the churches of Macedonia go, whoa. Hey, why didn't you include us? And Paul's like, hey, we know things are a little rough. In fact, things are really difficult for you all. Notice what he said, severe trial. Not just a trial. It is a deep trial. They are struggling. And they said, oh, no. We would like to be a part too. And so what the Apostle Paul tells us is the first thing they did was they gave themselves first to the Lord. That is critical in becoming a grace giver. See, when we give ourselves to the Lord, we entrust ourselves to Him. For example, you remember in the Old Testament, remember they used to have this thing called the Sabbath, right? And what was the purpose of the Sabbath? Well, you're going, well, duh, it was rest. Everybody knows that. Was that the only purpose of the Sabbath? No. Right? The other purpose of the Sabbath was this. Will you trust me by taking a day off? You're going to work 6 days. You're going to take one day off. Every other nation around you works 7 days. Will you trust me to provide for you in 6 days what everybody else needs to do in 7 days? If you trust me, I will do that. You remember when they were in the wilderness on the day before that they were supposed to take their Sabbath, the Lord would bring twice as much manna. The Lord said, if you trust me, I will take care of what you need. Will you trust me? The Sabbath isn't just about rest. It is inherently about trust. Will I trust God to provide everything that I need? Guess what grace giving is all about? Trust God. By giving yourself first and foremost to Him, now He is able to lead, guide, and direct you however He wants. So the first key to being able to be a grace giver is to give yourself in a trusting way to the Lord. Lord, I will trust you. I love this. I love this thing. When I make more money, I'll give. No, you won't. Sorry. No, you won't. Because it'll never be enough. That's the mentality. It'll never be enough. Will you trust the Lord with what you have? But if you only knew what I made, hey, if you only knew what I made, right? If you only knew what I made, has nothing to do with it. Are you willing to trust God? I don't know how much you're supposed to give, because that's the big question. I know some of you are going, just tell me how much I'm supposed to give. That is not grace giving. That's the law. What does the Spirit tell you to give? Every December, my wife and I told you how we work. We pray separately, right? Then we come together and say, what is it the Lord wants us to give this next year? And then if I get paid every 2 weeks or once a month, however it gets played out, then that's what we give. And I'll share with you at the end why we do that. But there's a purpose in it. We allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us. And you know what's really fun is my wife is a little more conservative. I'm a little bit more generous, okay? And I'm not saying that's negative in her, but she's a little more conservative. And so it's just fun to be able to figure that out. Because if we come to this, then we say, well, obviously we need to go back and pray some more about it. Then we come back and we work together on what that is that the Lord would have us to do. But see, that's the beauty and opportunity, because we're now going to trust God to provide for everything that we need. What a great place to live. What an opportunity for us to be able to do that. What an opportunity for you and I to be people who give out of generosity that wells up in incredible opportunities. The second observation from this passage is grace giving is from the heart. I am not commanding you, verse 8 says, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. Where does sincerity and love come from? Your heart. I am not commanding you. I believe the reason why he says I'm not commanding you is because I think they, like most people, just tell me how much we need, how much money you need, and we'll figure it out. Well, but that takes away the beauty of intimacy with God. It takes away. It's not just about a number. It's about what is in here. What does God want from me? Grace giving, which is generosity, comes from the heart. How do we know that? The sincerity of your love. Love and sincerity is from the heart. Generosity is a matter deeply embedded in our heart. Remember when Jesus said this? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, I can easily look at your checkbook, although I know that's really an old kind of metaphor now. I can look at your checkbook and literally tell you what you value in life. You can now, because we really don't use checks, but you can really look at your bank statement and literally look at it and see what you value, because it's right there in front of you. It's what you spend money on. It's what you allocate your resources. That's what you value. Like, for example, every time I get a little extra money, let me tell you what I value deeply. My granddaughters. And so every time I get a little extra money, I'm looking to buy them something. Ideally, something noisy that we get to send home with them. Yes! But I deeply love my grandchildren. I love them to pieces. And so any chance I get an opportunity to be able to have fun with that. And you know what? You can look at our bank account. You'll see it. Love for the grandkids. But you'll also see our love for God, because it's there as well. Out, there it is, all to see. No, you take a look. Nobody else needs to look at it. You do. It's not about, well, you know, you're making me feel pressure. Good. Good. Maybe you'll take a look at some things, because it exposes our heart. The Apostle Paul here isn't so much saying, show me the money, as much as he is saying, show me your heart. Genuine heart of love for God expresses itself in generosity. It's that simple. If you genuinely love God, you will be generous. It's really that simple. Think about it. Do you have a generous heart? Our third observation in verse 9, which, by the way, this is the game changer. This verse here absolutely doesn't fit until you understand, and then it absolutely makes the whole game-changing difference. Grace giving is following the example of Jesus. Notice what verse 9 says. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. This sounds like an evangelistic passage. This sounds like a verse you would share with someone that you're saying, listen, you're spiritually poor right now. But Jesus literally came to earth and gave up all of his great wealth and invites you into personal relationship with him so that you can be spiritually rich. Do you want to commit your life to Christ? I mean, I've heard it in evangelistic sermons. It is not the context. The context is giving. So, for example, some of you are going, but you still haven't told me how much I should give. Let me help you out. Ready? Are you ready? How much of Jesus' forgiveness and love do you want? 10%? Do you want 20%? 50%? Or do you want all of it? How many of you want all of Jesus' love and forgiveness and compassion? Then that's exactly what you've got to be willing to give up. There's your number 100%. There it is. It's laid right out to bear because Jesus is the example. He foregoes all of his spiritual, literal riches beyond immense measure, all the glory and riches of heaven, and all of it to be who he is so that he could become a poor, destitute child, so that he could live a sinless life, so that you and I could be made right with God and become the heirs and children of God and therefore filthy rich spiritually. So the question is, how much of Jesus' love do you want? How much of God's grace do you want? And you, as well as I do, want all of it. Are you willing to give all of your money to him? All of your resources to him? Your children, your cars, everything. Here's the beautiful equation. When you're willing to do that, you'll be amazed how much Jesus says, all right, settle down, settle down. Here's what I'm going to do. You know, instead of asking what should we give, we should maybe start asking, Lord, what do you want us to keep? See, isn't that a grace perspective? What is it you want us to keep? What is it that will sustain our life, not the life of, I've got to shop and spend hundreds of dollars every week because I need retail therapy. No, if you need therapy, it's called Envision Clinic. I'm just saying. But the point is, not for that. No, the life that you need to live to be able to provide the resources, the home that you're in, to be able to pay the bills, to be whatever that is. What is it? All the rest is gravy for the glory of God. There are many people that are wealthy, that make millions of dollars a year, that live on, I know this sounds crazy to me, I don't know about you, but live on $200,000 and give it all to God's kingdom, the rest. That could be $2 to $4 million a year because that's all they need. They don't. The rest of it is fund money for the kingdom. Maybe you're in a position to consider that. You see, not so much how much should I give or how little should I give, but Lord, what is it that you want me to keep? That might be a different perspective to consider. That might be something fun to do with your spouse or your family to be able to talk through. What does that look like? You see, this opportunity to reflect the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is profound. If you want to live under the law, then you better keep every aspect of the law. And if you want to give according to the law, it's 23.3%. Just thought I'd let you know. Just trying to help you out. But if you want to live a grace life, it's not going, how much can I get away with? No, it's literally, how much do you want me to keep, Lord? All of it's yours. All of it. You know how difficult it is to be able to lay your children on the altar of God? Whatever. And when my oldest daughter years ago walked away from the Lord, do you know how hard that was? It could have been the most difficult thing I've ever experienced, even to this point in my life. But I said, Lord, whatever it takes, we lay her on the altar. even if that means you take her life. Do you know how hard that is? That's grace giving. Are you willing to give it all? Literally everything you have authority or power or control over. Now you're in a great place to be able to experience the grace. Because Jesus gave it all, are you willing to give it all? Now, I told you, I would tell you at the end, kind of how or why my wife, we do what we do, kind of in our giving. I didn't want to leave you hanging. It's actually found in the next chapter, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, 6 and 7. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know what the Greek word for cheerful means there? It literally means hilarious. It means God loves a hilarious giver. You know what it means? Look, Lord, here's their money. It's all yours anyhow. Yeah! That's hilarious. Instead of going, oh. You know what? This is so enslaving to be an Ebenezer Scrooge. We watch it. I love it. I got to watch it every Christmas. I got to watch that because it reminds me of where my heart could be, too, if I'm left to myself. Don't be an Ebenezer Scrooge. Be generous. Would you take a moment to bow your head right where you're at? First and foremost, as the passage said, would you give yourself to the Lord? I don't know what that means for you. Maybe you're here and you've never personally put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe what you need to do, as you know, Pastor Bill told us, is just call out, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and 3 days later he came out of the grave victorious over death in the grave so that you and I could experience life. Give yourself to the Lord. Maybe you've been tight-fisted with the resources God has blessed you with. Give yourself first to the Lord. And a second question for you to consider is, does giving to God's purposes come from your heart? Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to share from your word today. God, we are excited about this opportunity of grace giving. It's this considering your grace in that deeper invitation into your very heart. It's a lifestyle. And God, we would pray that you would help all of us to be liberated from just a stagnant methodology of giving into grace giving, which is dynamic and real. It's generous, it's profound, and it comes from our heart. God, be honored and glorified.